Hello and welcome. This is Liz Booker with a literary aviatrix waypoint along our journey through stories featuring women in aviation. This one is from Season 2, Episode 1, in my interview with retired Air Force Colonel Meryl Tingsdahl about her book Shatter the Sky, What Going to the Stratosphere Taught Me About Self-Worth, Sacrifice, and Discipline. Meryl is the first and only Black woman to pilot the U-2 reconnaissance aircraft, and after she retired, she was a contestant on Season 2 of the reality TV series Tough as Nails. In our interview, we talk all about flying the U-2. It's a really long interview, like 2 hours, so I can't fault anyone for not having the time or attention span to listen to the whole thing at once. This is a clip from our conversation that ties into my previous waypoint, where Julie Tizard and I are talking about the experience of being gay in the military and kind of how she coped with that and how she talked about needing a break from the testosterone poisoning of the male military culture. This little clip offers an alternate viewpoint to that experience.
I always tell people the U-2 is the people there landed and not quite right. Like there's good camaraderie, good sense of humor, you know, slightly raunchy, not over the line, but it's fun.
When I reported to the Joint Command and I had like this crew of, they were mixed military and civilians. Most of them were prior military, all men, of course. And I was going to be in charge of these guys. And I was just like, listen, I grew up in the adolescent boys' locker room. I have pretty high tolerance. Some things will cross a line and you'll know when they do.
Yes. Look, I mean, you know, I mean, I was raised in officer candidate school when the drill instructors were telling us to get together nut to butt. I mean, this is how like some people now may be offended, but it was very crude. It was very direct and you understood. Okay. And then the drill instructors had the nerve, like if there was a girl with a boy tight like that, they would come in and put their hands in between us to make some more spacing. I was like, this place is,
you just kind of get like, indoctrinated into the culture, into the boys' locker room culture. And at some point you just have to assimilate for the most part to survive
it.
So you and I think are pretty similar. I too have a sense of humor about a lot of it, as long as it's not, you know, directed at humiliating somebody or, you know what I mean?
Right. So, my mind could go in the gutter, but you know, you have to know your audience, right? So you have to, in the military, there are some people who maybe didn't have that upbringing. And that's okay. They just need to be comfortable in the environment. And the moment you start making someone feel like an outsider, then you've crossed the line and you got to make it right. So, you know, if you slip up, I think a lot of people have that. Some people have that, you know, response like, well, they need to toughen up and have thicker skin. It's like, no, you need to kind of just dial it back when they're around because
maybe elevate the maturity level of our interactions just a touch.
Class it
up a little bit.
just be a little more classy. And then when you're with the other people, you can say what you want, within reason. Yeah. That doesn't cross the line. But I being on the boat, being with the Navy, I was a sailor first. So I have a mouth. I have my mind could go in the gutter. This is just, I can hang with the best of them. I mean, there's a point that I talk about it in my first deployment. You know, all the guys had all these, you know, Playboy magazines and, you know, naked pictures. And there's a point where I'm like, dude, this does not interest me and it's annoying. So, you know, my way to combat that was, okay, I have a Playgirl.
Yeah, I thought like that was great.
You like to see boobs? I like to see other swinging things. How about that? And they're like, oh, no, we don't want to see that. I'm like, why are you so sensitive now? Oh, does this bother you? Well, too bad.
I love it. Those are such good stories. So great. Cracks me up. And I love that you were able to have a sense of humor about those things and you didn't let them shut you down. Not everybody responds that way. And And, you know, it's an evolving culture always.
It is. And again, for those people who don't take that avenue, you know, just be you and say something.
And set your boundaries, right?
Yeah, right.
And people in leadership positions can set the tone too, so.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Not my problem anymore, but definitely thought a lot about it for a long time. Good luck, everybody.
Yes. Setting the tone. When I was a commander, my detachment, they had a problem with cursing way too much. Over there were two problems: cursing and flatulence was an issue. Yeah. Okay. I had one guy that would like crop dust people. And I was like, bro, this is disgusting. I was like, we're going to have a jar. If you crop dust, this is $5. Seriously, go do it in your office. Close the door. We can't have.
Again. Yeah. Like, seriously.
Seriously, with crop dust. And he would laugh about it.
You are in the adolescent. And I keep saying boys, and I'm always so, so careful not to like make gender generalizations. But honestly, like. Yeah,
I will say 95% of the times it was a male.
And then the rest of the time it was you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. The impression that we are giving of our professional military right now. But hey, you know what? We have our serious side. We do have our very serious side.
Right. Because I mean, there's times that, you know, the job and the mission are serious. People get hurt, things happen, and it's serious a lot. So you have to find a way to decompress.